Who is thankful that they're a child of the King this morning? Come on, yeah. Woo. Man, you picked a great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, if you're first time in a long time, we want to welcome you here to Better Life Church. If you're watching online, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm telling you what, God is doing something here at Better Life Church. And if you're watching online, especially from Carter County or Boyd County or Lawrence County, we are heading your way in the first of the year because we've been commanded to go and to reach people with the gospel. So come on, let's just pray and ask God to do something this morning. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. We adore you. Oh, God, we're just in awe of you. God, you woke us up this morning. The only reason why we have breath this morning is because you wanted us to. And God, through an invite, some form or fashion, you've got us to this place in this house, or you've got us to watch this morning online. And God, we believe that if we're here, that we're expecting, God, to hear from you. God, that you have something that you want to share with us this morning. So, Father, we ask you to do what only you can do. That's open the eyes of our heart, that you would change our perspective, that you would change our thoughts towards you, that you would calm our hearts. And I know we're going to be traveling or doing things, but just for the next few moments, can we just focus on your Son, Jesus? For apart from him, we can do nothing, but God, we can do all things through your Son who gives us the strength. And God, we can't wait to see what you're going to do. We love you, Jesus. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Go ahead, you may be seated. So who are you? Wow, thank you so much, worship team. Who are you? Look at the person you sit beside and say, who are you? Say, who are you? Now look back at them and say, I'm going to tell you who I am. Tell them who you are. Tell them, who are you? Who are you to them? Tell them. You know, a lot of times we identify ourselves. Okay, bring it back down. You're a little rowdy. I know that. That's all right. It's all right. If they're single, get those digits. All right, I'm just trying to help you out here at Better Life Church. You know, a lot of times, you know, we describe ourselves to people by what we do, right? The things that we do, it's how we describe. You know, sometimes we may describe ourselves like, hey, I'm Daniel, I'm the teacher, right? I'm a teacher, and you describe yourself as a teacher. Maybe you're a doctor, and when you tell someone, you describe yourself as a doctor. Maybe for you, it's an electrician. I don't know what it is for you, or maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a baller. Maybe it's a dancer. You know what I'm saying? So hold on, no. A little too early to do that right now, right? I don't know how you describe yourself to someone, but a lot of times our identity is found in what we do. You know, for instance, especially like people who have such a strong, long career. You know, a lot of times when people get to retirement, they struggle in retirement because their whole purpose has been around their career. Now they don't know who they are anymore. Who am I? I'm not a teacher no more because I retired. I'm not a pipe fitter anymore because I retired. I'm not this because I retired. And a lot of times when people end their career, they have no purpose. And their identity is found in a title, right? You know, why am I here? You know, maybe you lost your job and you're tore up because you lost your job. And now you don't even know who you are anymore because you're identified by a title or a career. Maybe for you, it's an accomplishment. There goes so-and-so who is accomplished blank. And you're known, or your identity is through your accomplishments. Maybe it's a relationship. There's the wife of so-and-so, or there's the husband of so-and-so, or there goes the person, you know, who's related to blank. And you're known as an identity of a relationship that you have with someone. It may be what you possess, right? There goes so-and-so who owns blank. And your identity is found in what you own or your possessions that you have. However, most Christians have no idea who they are in Christ. Like, who am I genuinely in Christ? The greatest belief that you could have is a true knowledge and understanding of who God is. And once you get an understanding of who God is, the second greatest belief you could have is who you are in His Son. Because if we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us, then we, in to some degree, will struggle or suffer with a wrong identity and understanding that having a poor self-image of who we really are. In fact, it's not what you do that determines who you are. It is who you are that determines what you do. And if you'll let that sink in and understand that, the greater I know who I am, then the greater things I can accomplish for the Lord. In fact, that's what this whole series about is, who am I? Like, really, who am I? I don't even know, like, who am I? And what is this purpose that God has for me? You know, the reality is, though, Satan don't want you to know who you are. You know, our bedrock foundational verse, John 10:10, in the beginning is realistic as well as the end, right? The better life. Jesus said, I've come, you can have a more life, a better life than you could ever dreamed of. But the part of that, first of that verse is, you have an enemy who's the devil, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your identity. He wants to destroy your family, your finances, your health, your career, your relationships, your children. He is absolutely wants to destroy you. And he doesn't want you to be set free, especially in knowing who you are in Christ. But before we can know who we are, we got to know who he is. And who is he? And who is God? God in the Bible a lot of times is pictured as whatever you need at that time in your life, right? He is our rock. If you're struggling with your footing in life, if you need stability in your life, he is your rock. He's our peace. Anybody struggling with emotional issues today? He is the peace. In fact, peace is not a feeling, it's a person, and his name is Jesus, because he's the Prince of Peace. So he can be our peace in time that we need peace. He's our refuge. You ever feel like you need to go run and hide somewhere? Go run to him. He is our hiding place. He is our refuge. He's our provider. Do you need something in your life? He is the one who provides it. You need protecting? He's the one who protects you. He is our shield, the Bible says. That he's the one who comes around us and protects us. He's our creator, our comforter, our counselor. You need counseling this morning? Run to Jesus. He is our counselor, our everlasting father. He's the Alpha and Omega, which is the beginning and the end. He's the man, if I can say that. He is everything that we've ever needed. And understanding who he is would help us understand who we are. But the question you may ask it is, that's cool. I understand it about God. I read that in the Bible about God. But man, who am I? Well, our foundational passage for this entire series is going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. So grab your Bible, go to 1 Peter chapter 2, or grab your smartphone. I'm in the ESV translation if you want to follow along with me. But 1 Peter chapter 2, this is going to be the bedrock foundational passage to this entire series. So you can go ahead and read ahead, read the book of 1 Peter. It helps you understand a little bit about the context of what we're doing this morning. But we're going to share with you this verse here, and I'm going to make a few observations, and then we're going to take communion together as a family. So great Sunday to be here. So if you're ready to get started, say, let's go. All right, you said it. Here we go. Verse 1. So put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. There you go. You ready to get started? Right? Well, come out swinging this morning, right? Now listen, once we can work through that, that's another whole sermon of its own. The Bible says in verse 2, let's be like newborn infants. Long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if you indeed have tasted that the Lord is good. He says, when you give your life to Jesus, we should grow. This is a big fancy theological word called sanctification, that we will grow up into our salvation. We will grow and long for good, pure spiritual milk. Verse 4 says, as you come to him, as you come to Jesus, you know, a living stone that's been rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen. Say chosen. That's very important. Jesus was chosen and precious. Verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But the scriptures state, for it stands, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a chosen stone, a precious stone. There's that word chosen again. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Verse 7. So the honor is for you who believe. But those who do not believe, you know, the one, the stone that the builders rejected, that's become the cornerstone, a stumbling block, a rock of offense, they stumble. Let me tell you why they stumble. Because they disobey the word of God. They disobey the word because they were destined to do. Verse 9. Here we go. But you. You is singular here, not y'all. He's not like from the south side of Jerusalem saying y'all. He's saying, listen, he says you, but you, individually, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And once you were not his people, but praise be to God, now you are his people. Once you had no mercy, but praise be to God, you have received mercy. Who's grateful this morning for the mercy of God in their life? But I'm going to focus on verse 9, just a few words, a chosen race. In fact, I've titled this morning message, A Chosen Race. What in the world does that mean? Well, let's think through this just for a moment, the context of who he's writing to, right? What is a race? A race, every race has a common ancestor. It begins somewhere. Wherever nationality you are, no matter where you come from, it all has begun somewhere. To the Jews, we found out that the Jewish race begins with Abraham. Remember the song, Father Abraham, and many sons? Many sons have been Father Abraham. It begins in Genesis chapter 12. You can go home and read it. God in his sovereignty looks at Abraham and says, I pick you. Like, who, me? Yep, I pick you. Not because of anything. I'm gonna pick you because I'm God and I have the mic and I get to do what I want to do. So guess what, Abraham? I'm gonna pick you, and here's what I'm gonna do. I've chosen you to begin a race that from you, the entire population of all the Israelites and all the Jews are gonna come from, and it's gonna start with you, Abraham. See, if you're a Jew, you can chase your genealogy. Well, listen, people who are like pure blood really want to chase their trace it all the back to Abraham. That's why the Jews and the Samaritans never got along, because the Samaritans, who were Jews, intermarried with other nationalities, and they couldn't trace their genealogy. And because they couldn't trace it, the Jews would push them away and says, you mudbloods, right? You know, you are a different group of people. You can't hang with us. We're pure Jews because we can go all the way back to Abraham. Well, Peter understands that context and says, listen here, we got to fix this. We got to change this mindset of this chosen race, he says in verse 9. And what he's trying to do is trying to let the Jews know that God is changing this, that God is shaping this race, this group of people. And when God wants to change a race, he's not trying to change your skin color. He's not trying to change the language you speak. He's trying to change your heart. And what gets you into this new race is not what tongue or tribe you come from. It's the heart transplant that takes place in your life. And that's what makes you part of a new race. In fact, in that new race are people who have been born again. And when you give your life to Jesus, you're now born again. You become a new woman of God. You become a new man of God. You're a new creature in Christ. And he's given you now a new spirit that places you in part of this new race. But what does it mean to be chosen? Like, what do you mean, like, chosen race? Well, remember in verse 4 and 6, I emphasized two words that God wanted us to know about his son Jesus. That Jesus was the chosen one. That he chose to usher in the sacrifice through Jesus. And as everyone who now has put their faith in Jesus is in Christ. So let me explain this to you. On September 2nd, 1997, 21 years ago today, I gave my life to Jesus. So today we're going to celebrate with Dr. Pepper and Chinese food. But anyway, if you missed a couple weeks ago, you know, it's an inside joke. 21 years ago to the day, in my dorm room, I gave my life to Jesus, and he radically changed my life. And the moment that happens, I'm teleported, I'm transported, not figuratively, but I am now transported from this side of the cross to this side now in Christ. I've gone from living like a hellion, held bound, to now in Christ in the heavenlies with him. I want you to get that picture. So the moment that I was believed, he picked me up and he put me in Christ. And every single person who put their faith in Jesus is now in Christ. Now, what's so significant about that? Well, if I am in Christ, that means being in Christ, I have what he has. That I have the relationships that he has as well. And so since I am in Christ and he is the chosen one, that makes me part of the chosen people. That makes me part of the chosen race. So picture this. I'm in Christ, He's chosen. I give my life to Jesus. I am now in Him. I've been placed in Christ. That makes me part of this chosen family of God, this new race that He is creating. All because not of my good works. I can't be good enough. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. It's because I believed. And the moment that I believed, I was placed in Christ. In fact, Ephesians 1:4 says, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But the question you maybe ask yourself is, so what? So what does that mean? Okay, great for the Bible study. I'm in Christ now. Good. I'm part of the God's chosen family. I'm part of this new chosen race. What does it matter what your skin color is, no other tribe or tongue or language you speak, that you are part of the family of God, which means Christians should not be racial at all. Because we're part of this new race, not supreme race, but this new family of God. It doesn't matter what your skin color. It don't even matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. You know what I'm saying? You're part of the family of God. But first, the family. Some of you die for your political party, but you never die for Jesus. That's another sermon. We'll get to that later. The family. Because of we believed in Jesus. He's our new common ancestor. He begins and builds a new race. So that means that we shouldn't be racial in any form or fashion as Christians. But so what? What's the big deal? Well, he's God's chosen one. What's his relationship with the Father, with God? Jesus is his son. Now, this is so important. I hope you get this. Now, because that I'm in Jesus, when God looks at me, guess what he sees? Not my sin. He sees his son because I've been clothed with righteousness. I've been clothed with the blood of Jesus. So that means when he looks at me now, he sees me as his son. He sees you as his daughter, which means this, that makes him our father. So the biggest thing that we got to understand is he is our father. 2 Corinthians says this, and we, he says, and I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. 1 John 3:1 says, see how very much our father loves us, for he calls us his children. Why? Because I believed, I've been put in Christ, not because of my good works, but because what Jesus did on the cross. He can call me his child now, and I can call him my father, and that is what we are. You may say, what's the big deal about this? Because I believe this is the most important belief that you can understand about yourself. Who am I? That I am a child of God, and that right came by God alone. It was his purpose, his right. He gave us the right to become children of God. And this is why this is so important. Because the devil will do everything in his power to warp your view of your earthly father. I believe that with everything within me, that he can't stand knowing that you have a heavenly father. And most people have father issues. I talk to them, listen, most people have father issues. And most people statistically see God as how their earthly father has treated them. You can interview people, talk to them, and they see the correlations, and the enemy is going to do everything he can to distort your perception of your father. And some of us had great dads, some of us had terrible dads, and all in between. But here's what you got to know. God is not a reflection of your earthly father. He's the perfection of your earthly father. Everything you've ever wanted and everything you've ever desired is found in him. But what makes God such a perfect father? I am so glad you asked. Let me tell you just a few reasons, and then we're going to celebrate communion together. Here's one that makes him such a perfect father, is that his love for us, God's love, is eternal. Eternal. I looked up that word eternal in the Greek. You know what it means? Eternal. Like, never ends. Like, it never ends. Before I was ever born, he loved me. He loved me. I didn't understand that until I became a parent, right? As a young parent, maybe you do get excited about this. Maybe you didn't get excited about this. But remember that day they walked in and she said, it's positive. You're going to be a daddy. Okay. Awesome. And I'll never forget, I didn't even know my kids yet, and I loved them. I'd speak to them. I'd chase my wife around the house and lay my hands on her. She's not pregnant, and I still do. But anyway, and I would put my hands on her belly, and I would say, "Do you hear me, son? I love you. I can't wait to hold you." I would talk to them. I loved them before I even saw them, before I even knew them. And then when I became a father, it changed me. Like, oh my gosh, how much does God love me? He formed me in my mom's womb, chose me in my mom's womb. Before I even knew him, he knew me and he loved me. Because his love is eternal. It is everlasting. Here's another reason. This one's the big one, because this is where all of us at some point in our life have or will be caught up or caught up right now. And that is, God's love is unconditional. This is what makes him such a perfect father. His love is not based on any condition. And this is why I believe we struggle the most. Well, I don't know if really God loves me, because look what I said, look what I tried, look what I've done, look where I've been, look at my past. Now, I just don't know if God will forgive me of a blank. I don't know really if God, you know, I know the Bible says God loves me, but I don't feel it. Because we think love is based on condition. If you, I will. God's love is unconditional. I love what Paul writes in Romans 8. He says, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." Nothing. Neither death or life. Death can't even separate you from God's love. Angels nor demons. We'll talk about that in October. I'm so glad he put this in here. Neither our fears of today or worries of tomorrow. Are you so afraid of today, what may happen and fearful today? And you worry all the time about tomorrow, worry all the time about the future. God said, even that will never make me stop loving you. I'm not ever going to stop loving you, because my love is not based on conditions. He goes on and says, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, nor power in the sky or below in the earth. Indeed, nothing in all creation, guess what that includes? You. Because you're part of his creation. Nothing in creation, not even yourself, can do anything to separate you from God's love that is revealed in Christ Jesus. You know, maybe you don't hear anything else I say today, but please get this. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you come from, guess what? He loves you. And because he loves you and gave you breath this morning, you know what that means? You get to start over. And today is a new day. That's how much he loves you. But you don't know what I've said. You don't know where I've come from. He loves you. But man, you don't know how big of a hell you've been. He loves you. Please don't leave here without getting that. And then my third and last one, and this one's what I'm really, really thankful for, is that his love is personal. Yeah. I'm glad he loves you. That's awesome. But he loves me. You know what I'm saying? He loves me. Like, I know he loves you. That's cool. I'm great. That's awesome. But he loves me. Like, loves me. Like, personally. He's not just saying, "I love y'all." He said, "I love you. And I love you. And Daniel, guess what? I love you. And I love you. And I even love you." Paul writes this in Romans 8. And I love Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. Like, if you could take one chapter of the Bible onto a stranded island someday, and that's all you had for the rest of your life to read one chapter, take Romans chapter 8. Go home and read it. Because I'm telling you what, if we could grasp Romans chapter 8, oh dear goodness, it would not just, all the stuff that we worry about, just go to Romans chapter 8. He says this: "You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves," right? We just sung it. We're no longer slave to fear. We're not to be fearful slaves anymore. "Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you." He adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. This is like the lowest form that a child can call their dad. Dad, dad. He says, "You can call me dad, dad." That's what Abba means. Dad, dad. "You can call me daddy. I've adopted you to the family. For the Spirit has joined our spirits to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together we're joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs of God's glory." Man, this is so good. This is so good. See, prior to giving my life to Jesus, The Bible says I was a foreigner. I was lost, spiritually dead. But when I gave my life to Jesus, he adopted me and he placed me in the family. He chose me. He adopted me. And as of being adopted into the family, everything that's his is mine. Everything he has belongs to me. Like legally, that word adopted means to legally, to take care, to watch over, to have the rights. He adopted me. But you say, but Pastor, I'm not blood related. Oh, yes, I am, because his blood is the reason why we're adopted. It's by the blood of Jesus that he could even adopt me. See, some of you here, you feel lost and you feel away and you feel like no one cares about, no one loves you. God loves you. He has the papers ready. All you got to do is believe. And if you will believe, you'll be adopted into the family of God. And you know what that means? We become heirs. Now, I was reading this and I was thinking through this because I read this. I'm like, wait, this is crazy. We become heirs. Not only any heir, we become joint heirs. Now, what's an heir? An heir is someone who receives something when someone dies. Let me say one. An heir is someone who receives something when someone dies. You see, when Jesus died, we now become heir. We receive everything he possesses. We get to inherit every single thing he possesses. You know what that means? Eternal life, salvation, favor, part of the kingdom of God, part of the family of God, peace. Those are great things to inherit, by the way. And the only way you could be part of that family is to believe. And here's the good news. You don't have to wait till you die to receive it. Everything that's at God's disposal, because he's your father, he gives to you now. You need peace, I give you peace. You need stability, I'll give you stability. You need healing, I'm your healer. You need a family, welcome to the family. And you don't have to wait till you die to receive it. And when you look back and you say, oh my gosh, because he's created this new race that's in Christ, and everyone who is in Christ is part of this new chosen race, all because he becomes now my father. He sees me as his son. He sees you as his daughter. Are you kidding me? Not based on your goodness or merit, but on what Jesus did for us. And now when he looks at you, he sees his son and he sees his daughter. And there's no greater day ever. It's for you today to understand that, like, he is God and I want him to be my father. And all you have to do is believe. I'm gonna ask if you would to bow your heads. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And the Bible is clear on this. That the Lord's Supper is for those who are part of the family. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus celebrate and remember that he died for us, he got up out of the grave for us, and he's coming back. And so if you're here visiting from another church, or you're here visiting with family and friends, and you're a believer, listen, your family, come on, take communion with us. You are part of the family of God. But if you're here today, if you're like, you know, I don't know yet if I really believe in this Jesus thing, and I don't really know if I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Just in a moment, when those cups pass you by, just let it pass you by. There's nothing wrong. Don't be embarrassed about that. It's like, man, I'm seeking. I'm trying to figure this God thing out. Listen, you keep coming. You keep coming. Because next Sunday, I'm going to give you a chance to receive Jesus. And the next Sunday, I'm going to give you a chance to receive Jesus. And the next Sunday, I'm going to give you a chance to receive Jesus. You keep searching. But if you don't haven't put your faith in Jesus, just let it pass you by. But you know what? I think if you're ready to give your life to Jesus and be part of the family, why don't give your life to Jesus now? And if that's you, I want to pray with you. Now, I say this every Sunday. Saying a prayer won't save you, but your lips can proclaim what your heart declares. And whether you're watching online or in the house this morning, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, let's do it right now. To say, God, I believe you. I believe you came for me, you died for me, and you got up out of the grave for me. And today I'm going to turn from my sin and be placed in the family of God. Not on my goodness, but before what your son did for me. Now, Jesus, help me follow you all the days of my life. Now, if that's you and you prayed that with me, here's what I believe would just happen. God just placed you in the family. He just placed you in Christ. And you are so secure in Christ, all those benefits are now yours in Christ. In fact, just like we did the first service, is that you and you prayed with me? I just want to know so I can celebrate. How many of you if you prayed with me, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, just now, just gave my life to Jesus. Come on, get your hand up. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Awesome. That's so awesome. For those of you who raised your hand, guess what? Come on, take communion with the family. And for the rest of you who have put your faith in Jesus, the Bible tells us to examine our hearts before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So would you ask God just to look real quickly at your heart and say, God, is there anything between me and you? And whatever the Spirit shows you, don't argue with them, confess it. Maybe you shouldn't have said that, looked at that, did that, tried that, and the Lord just brought some. Maybe you haven't forgiven someone, like, I really hold this grudge in my heart. Why don't you right now just let it go? Confess it to the Lord so that our hearts will be one, unified, pure, as we reflect on what Christ has done for us. In fact, I've asked our worship team to come up here so that we can just sing this song just one more time in light of what you just heard, that you are God's chosen people, chosen race in Christ. He is your Father now. Now you are His adopted son, His adopted daughter. In light of knowing that, how could we worship just a little bit more and sing a little bit louder how good our Father's love is? So if you'll stand your feet, come on, let's just worship together.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.